And we have a very special guest today. His name is Dr. James Carafano. He is a graduate of West Point with a master's from the Army War College and a doctorate from Georgetown University. He retired from the Army as a lieutenant colonel. He is an accomplished historian and teacher and director of foreign policy studies at the Heritage Foundation. He's testified multiple times before Congress, and he's an author, and his most recent book is Wiki at War, Conflict in a Socially Networked World. Dr. Carafano, thanks so much for being with us.
Hey, it's great to be with you. I hope my mom's listening.
I hope she is, too. I hope she is, too. Let's dive right in here. There's those that would say, and you're an expert in this area, I'd love to hear your opinion here. There's those who would say that the war on terror was over. I don't agree. What do you think is the next stage on the war on terror, and are we adequately prepared?
Well, in many ways, people classified what President Obama did when he came into office as Bush Light. And in many ways, it was just Bush. I mean, there was a continuation of many of the same policies. About 2 years ago, there was a dramatic shift in the administration policies. Most people didn't even notice. And it was really kind of they would say addition by subtraction. They just stopped doing a lot of things. And I think, I mean, this is like, the only way I can compare this is like you're running a marathon, and at race 18, everybody else is 3 or 4 miles behind. You just decide to sit down, let everybody catch up. That's essentially what the administration's been doing.
What are some of the things that we were doing that we just stopped doing that are jeopardizing our national security?
Well, fundamentally, it's the way we treat the guys that we were going after. I mean, and we should be clear. Look, we are doing a much better job, and we continue to do so, making the United States a harder target. We track the number of attempted terrorist attacks on the United States. I actually think we're the only people that do this. Matter of fact, when we first started doing this, we called the FBI and said, we have a list of attacks that have been thwarted. We'd like to compare it to your list. And they said, you have a list? And it's on our website at heritage.org. So by our count, and these are just the publicly available data. So obviously there are things, you know, behind the scenes, classified things that we don't know about or can't talk about. There have been at least 51 attacks against the United States that have been thwarted since 9/11. Increasingly, a lot of those happen here because the bad guys just can't get here. And the ones that do happen here tend to be less well organized and less professional. So I think that's a good sign. But here's what we're doing that doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. We were treating this as a global insurgency, as Al-Qaeda trying to reach out and inspire groups and organize a coherent effort to come after the United States. Now what we've done is gone back to treating them just like we did under Clinton, which is kind of playing whack-a-mole, going out and trying to take out individual leaders. And the problem with that strategy is people just come up to replace them, and these guys just get much smarter at hiding. So in a sense, we've made the enemy's job easier because instead of going after them in a very kind of complex way, we've just kind of go after them in a very narrow way. So if you think about it, it would be like fighting a war and say, we're going to stop using the aircraft carriers and the soldiers and the tanks and the bombers, and we're just going to go after these guys with tanks.
It's interesting, and let me kind of chase that point just a second. We've adopted a strategy as a country of killing insurgents instead of capturing them,
right,
interrogating them, getting data from them, because of the controversy over the enhanced interrogation techniques. So we don't have that data on the ground. How much is that hurting us, do you think?
Well, look, this is not a sustainable strategy. I mean, you know, first of all, people look at this and say, look, I got Osama bin Laden. Well, look, the president didn't get Osama bin Laden. We chased Osama bin Laden down for 10 years.
Good point.
We had to invade a country to set up the base to operate from and where we could go after this guy in real time. And now we're walking away from all that. So, the president's really thinking, you know, he's going to basically sit back in his office and, you know, pretend he's, you know, Josiah Bartlett on West Wing, and he's going to make all the decisions that keep us safe. I mean, to me, what's very, very telling, and more important thing, and it's a story that really everybody has kind of missed. You know, there's been a lot of hubbub about all these leaks where they basically are kind of playing out, showing all their cards of everything they're doing, and there's a lot of speculation that they're primarily doing this because they want the president to look strong and tough and say, well, he's a real player in national security to help his reelection. I mean, I don't know. I don't talk to the campaigns.
Right.
But here's the real story that nobody's talking about, which is really important, is the fact that they think they can do this means they have absolutely no respect for their enemies. They think their enemies are so stupid or weak or incompetent that they're never going to figure out how to use this intelligence to get back at us. Now, contrast that, for example, with what we did during World War II. You know, we just celebrated the 60th anniversary of the Battle of Midway. We won the Battle of Midway because we broke the Japanese code, and we knew they were coming, and we ambushed them. We kept that secret for decades. Most of the Cryptological Ultra, which was our big program, you know, that we were breaking the Japanese and German codes, we held that secret for almost 30 years because we didn't want to even have a remote ghost of a chance that somehow the Soviets would learn something from that that they could use to their advantage. So then we kept secrets for 30 years. Now we keep secrets on a stopwatch. I think that reflects this incredible hubris or pride on the part of this president, that he just thinks he's the smartest guy in the room. And I think the biggest mistake you can when you're fighting an enemy is to pretend that they're just this inanimate object that you're pushing around, and that they're not smart enough to figure out how to come back at you.
You know, as you describe that, and as that realization kind of hits home, I got chills going up the back of my spine here, because the reality is that the arrogance of this administration and our government at this point, that we can push around our enemies, and at the same time, and I want to get your opinion on this, at the same time, the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, reports that attack helicopters are coming from the Soviet Union, from Russia, that region to Syria right now. Obviously, or is obvious to me at least, for sinister reasons, and we sit back and do nothing while we act like we're tougher than everybody else. I'd love for you to weigh in there.
This is really a replay of the Jimmy Carter years, except nobody has really noticed. I mean, Jimmy Carter came into office. I mean, the parallels are really striking. You know, office, he promised change, he got a Nobel Prize, he said he was going to go out and talk to all our enemies. He was going to, you know, make human rights a big priority. And what happened was is the bad guys took one look at him and they said, this is a guy that we could play. They came back at him. And, of course, you know, the second half of his presidency was just one foreign policy disaster after another. The reality is there really is no difference, just nobody noticed. So the president's the number one accomplishment of the president's administration, he will tell you that, is that he has reset relations with Russia. And then you ask them, what do we have to show for that? And the answer is absolutely nothing. So Syria is a great example. I mean, the Russians are abetting genocide in Syria, and we're just sitting there blinking. What have we done with the Chinese? Nothing. What have we accomplished with North Korea? Nothing. What have we accomplished with Iran? Nothing. What has the president really done to drive change in the Arab Spring? Nothing. So, what does he trumpet as his great accomplishments? Running away from Iraq, running away from Afghanistan, killing Osama bin Laden, a guy that had been chased into a corner and was because of 10 years of effort, was ineffective anyway, and dethroning a dictator in Libya, which is really kind of on the margin of U.S. interests. These guys like to fight little unimportant wars that they can win, as opposed to big important wars that actually would make us safer.
It's interesting, as you point out, that these policies are very similar to the policies of Jimmy Carter. And I know we're talking about national defense right now, but from an economic standpoint, they're the exact same type of parallels. Let me go back. You just said something about Afghanistan, and I want to ask you that. What do you think of our exit of Afghanistan, and where does that leave us?
Well, I think the problem, and you can be critical of the early years in Afghanistan and what we did, and that's fine, and that's true. But I think the president, I think we had a strategy that would have worked. He gave the commanders half the time they needed and half the troops they needed to do the job. And I simply think we're walking away without having accomplished the mission of having a high degree of confidence that the Taliban and al-Qaeda just won't flood back in that country, and we'll go right back to where we were on September 10th, 2001.
We're talking today to Dr. James Carafano, the Director of Foreign Policy Studies at the Heritage Foundation. I run out of time here, but I do have one more question that I'd love to ask you. In terms of Iran right now, it appears that Iraq may be, by news reports, that Iraq may be a puppet of Iran at this point. Do you see us or Israel attacking Iran for national security interests now or in the future? And how does that look? And how does that play out in the world, do you think?
Well, I think it's premature to look at Iraq as a puppet of Iran, although there's Shia in Iran and there's Shia in Iraq, and there are some linkages. The Iraqi government is still, I think, pretty independent. Don't forget, those guys fought a decade-long war against each other, and a lot of the people that died in the war on the Iraqi side were Shias, fighting Shias. So, you know, Iran is a... Look, there is no happy ending here. This is going to end badly.
Right.
We are past the point of happy endings. And this president has a lot of blame to have for that. He spent 3 years talking to these people, you know, promising that it was going to get us somewhere, and it got us nowhere, just like he spent years talking to Assad in Syria, promising people that it would get... So we wasted time, and that time has just made the situation worse, and we're just at the point now where everybody has bad options.
All right, we're talking today again to Dr. James Carafano, a director of foreign studies at the Heritage Foundation. You wrote a book called Wiki at War, Conflict in a Socially Networked World. Briefly, tell us about that, and for our listeners, where can they go to buy it?
Well, the easiest thing is just go to Amazon. They got the Kindle version, they got the softbook version, they got the hardcover version. It's a book about all this social network stuff and what does it mean for national security. So we all know that... Craigslist and Facebook and eBay have changed how we do economics. We all bank online. You know, we know it's changed politics that President Obama used to get elected. So what does it mean for national security? How are countries going to use it? How are bad people going to use it? How are good governments going to use it? So it's a kind of a survey of what's going on out there, and it's kind of a strategy because I'm a military guy and I come from a military background.
Right.
But I go to these social networking conferences and we talk about social networking, and everybody gets up and it's all hugs and puppy dogs about, oh, you know, how can we all, you know, hug on the internet? And I'm like going, well, how can you use these things to fight wars? You know, I think, you know, people look at me like a little, kind of like a Dr. Strangelove character, but that's okay. I don't mind that. It's a fun read, and people should check it out.
All right, Dr. Carafano, thank you so much for being with us. We greatly appreciate it.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, we're coming up on